F4.
Number 6A.
Well, tonight I would like to introduce you to the structure of the Gospel of John. We have taken the prologue because this gives, so to say, the fundamental tone of what John as a whole wants to present, namely the fourfold calculus of being. This is the main theme that will run through the whole of the Gospel, and therefore because it's a fourfold calculus of Word, Christ, Christianity and science, we will see that John is first taking, in the first part, the tone of the Word of God, then in the second part, the Christ, then in the third part, Christianity, and finally in the fourth part, science. This is the main outlay of John, but we want to see where it appears, so to say, within the whole matrix or within the whole model of being. Now, if you take the illustrative material, the epitomes, and we look at page 4, there you see on the upper part, figure 1, the model of being. So John has a special place value within that whole model of being, so he doesn't show really the whole model of being, but just a certain aspect. Now, which aspect does he show? We have seen that the four Gospels are illustrating Matthew the Word, Mark the Christ, then Luke Christianity, and now John is illustrating science. If you take that model of being on the lower level, which is called Christian Science, on the left-hand side, then you see that we come to the Word, in the word order, which is Matthew. Then the next is Christ, in the Christ order. Then Christianity, which is the Christianity order. And now, the last one, the candlestick order, is the science order. I call it the candlestick order because it gives perhaps the clearest symbolization of this order. Then we see that above the Christian Science level is the absolute Christian Science level, and there you have usually life, truth and love as one tone, and that is the dominating tone that is dominating then the Christian Science level. So when you read Matthew, you will see that Matthew has the overriding tone in the Word as life, truth, and love, then the Christ as truth, life, and love, Christianity as life and love, that's Luke, and now John has the overriding tone in absolute Christian Science with truth and love. What this term means, you can know from the book, The Four Levels of Christian Science, The Four Level of Spiritual Consciousness that I have written. There, this whole model of being is explained in detail. But now we have an example set forth in the Gospel of John, which shows the interdependence in the science vertical there of truth and love from the standpoint of absolute Christian Science, that interdependence with the candlestick order, the science order, in Christian Science. So you see at the right-hand side, at the border there, you see that we have first in brackets there, see figure 2, which is showing down on the bottom of the page 4, the candlestick order. And that must be combined, what you have in the model of being further to the right, see figure 3, namely combining it with the absolute sense of truth and love. Now, do we know what the science order is, the candlestick order is? Actually, you should know, because you have read the book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness. You have also my book on the seven synonymous terms, where the science order is explained at large, again, in different terms. So this should not be really a new subject. So I only want to go over it in order to make clear what John is doing when he combines really absolute Christian science, truth and love, with the candlestick order, the science order on the level of Christian science. Let's first take the science order as you have in figure 2 on page 4. There again, in the middle of that figure 4, is the candlestick. I think that's shown clearly, that middle shaft that stands on principle is the middle shaft of the candlestick, and that it has three times two arms going out from principle. Namely, at the top you have soul and life, that's nearest to principle. Oh yes, I first perhaps have to tell you, where do we find really this science order? That was a big question in John Dolly's time, because he could easily find the world order in science and health, the Christ order in science and health, and the Christianity order in science and health. But he always wondered why Mrs. Eddy doesn't give a fourth order. So after a while, when he was reading the Bible, was reading about the candlestick that Moses ordered to be made, he could see that that candlestick has also seven lamps, so that the seven synonymous terms were also symbolized in the candlestick. But he could see something that was very different from the orders of the word Christ in Christianity, namely that one synonymous term did not lead to the next, and the next to the second next, and the second next to the third next, so that there was no linear development from one synonymous term to the other. Whereas in the candlestick, you have not such a linear order, but you have, so to say, a structural order, so that really in the middle of the definition of God, as Mrs. Eddy has actually given in the textbook on page 465, where she said, what is God? And has given those seven synonymous terms in a linear way to read. He could see that one could also read that definition from the middle of those seven synonymous terms. In the middle of it is principle. And on the left-hand side is then mind, spirit, soul. On the right-hand side, when you cast your net on the right-hand side, is life, truth, and love. So you can see that the middle shaft of principle is holding, so to say, with their arms, the other pair of three synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul on the left, life, truth, and love on the right. And they were combined always with the middle shaft, with principle. So actually, Mrs. Eddy very often would say that the term for God should be principle, and that principle includes all other synonymous terms. So that the main backbone, so to say, of those synonymous terms is principle, and the other two pairs of three synonymous terms are actually bound together through that middle stick of principle. So next to the principle, the candlestick shows soul and life. Then further, away from the middle is spirit and truth, those two arms that link together with principle, and then finally mind and love as the outer arms, the final arms. Now, this new order is of fundamental interest because we can see that the seven, which we have as a linear order in the world, in the Christ and Christianity, suddenly stops being a linear order, and therefore is no more a linear thinking, a linear consciousness, but that it becomes a structure, a structural consciousness, so that mind doesn't anymore lead to spirit, and spirit to soul, and soul to principle, and principle to life, truth and love, but that it is all united in one middle shaft with a fundamental principle. This means that we have in the candlestick order, so to say, four stages in it. The lower stage is principle, you see the foundation. Then comes a knot, and Moses has shown then how to make a knot where the first two arms go out, a knot, so that's the second stage. Then a third stage, spirit and truth, again with a knot in the middle stick. And then lastly, a fourth stage, namely soul and life. So that suddenly the seven turn into four. Now you remember how important it was that I was introducing the whole subject yesterday through Mrs. Eddy's teaching and what John Dawley was seeing in 1949, namely that we should go further than the days of creation and the numerals of infinity and even further than the seven synonymous term and accept the four. Accept the divine infinite calculus, so that our consciousness begins to operate in the four, and the four is naturally Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So here with the candlestick we get a turning point in our consciousness, where we are no more thinking in a linear way, but in a structural way. I will say that many times this week, that we have to get accustomed to think structurally and no more linearly. And we'll see that how it develops quite easily and naturally. Now, we see what does really that candlestick order explain. What is the inner meaning of the candlestick order? Now, we have the divine principle in the middle, which is fundamental. On this one principle rests all of Christian science. And now the very top arms next to this principle is shown here as soul and life. What does soul and life convey? What is the meaning of it? What is the inner message of soul and life? Well, we know, for instance, soul as identity, as unchangeable identity. We know life as what? We know life as being, as isness. So what the candlestick order wants to bring out here is that the divine principle, really, that is fundamental, has unchangeable identities, soul, of being, life. That being is constituted, so to say, of infinite identities, soul of being, life. So that's the very first thing we ask. We ask, so to say, in every science, what are the elements of a science? We will ask in chemistry, what are the elements of chemistry? In physics, we will ask, what are the elements of physics? We'll ask in biology, what are the elements of biology? So here too, the very first question is, what are really the elements of being? And we see that they are unchangeable identities of being. That the ideas of being never change, have identity, they are clear-cut, they are crystallized, you can define them. They never change, they don't come and go, they are of the nature of beingness, of isness. You can rely on them as eternal identities. So here we first get what John Dooley then called numerals of infinity. We could also say, well, they depict, so to say, the ideas of the seven synonymous terms. These are our elements with which we work. We work with the ideas of the seven synonymous terms, and so they constitute our material with which being works. These are the numerals of infinity. Now, with that, we haven't yet said very much, because we haven't yet ask ourselves, now, what do these identity of being do? How do they operate? Just as we would ask in arithmetic, well, arithmetic rests on the principle of arithmetic, namely, that it has 10 digits. These are the elements of arithmetic, that we have the 10 digits. Those would be soul and life, namely the unchangeable numbers of arithmetic. But if we have the numbers 1 to 10, we are not yet able to calculate. So we need a calculus in order to make those numbers work. So we have in arithmetic, we have the calculus, say, of addition, of subtraction, of multiplication, of division. These are the four modes of calculating, and they enable us to take those elements, those 10 numbers, those 10 digits, and calculate infinitely. In a similar way, what Moses has seen is that these identities of being, soul and life, have or the need a calculus with which to compute infinitely those infinite ideas. This computation means that there is just one arithmetic, but that in that one arithmetic there are infinite possibilities of calculating and bringing out constantly new results, within the realm of arithmetic. So whenever we calculate in a way we have never calculated, we bring out a new result, a new calculation. That's what is meant here by spirit and truth, namely that these numerals of infinity, those identities of being, are the truth about being, but that one truth about being, that these ideas are the truth about being, they are not illusions, are not erroneous concepts. That's the one and only truth of being, but that one and only arithmetic has infinite calculations. And then we want to bring out that the truth is infinitely expressed. We use the term spirit, because spirit is infinite reflection. So that one truth is infinitely reflected in spirit as infinite truths. Truths with a small t and an s at the end, so that the one becomes the infinite. The one truth, which is God, can be seen in all the truths in the universe. So it is the truth about everything. That's truth and spirit. We just have to know the synonymous term and their value, what they want to bring out. All right, now, let's go on to the next pair of arms, to mind and love, or love and mind. I will explain that later. How is it when we calculate in arithmetic and have infinite possibilities of calculating? Can we, in a certain specific situation, just take any true calculation? Or do we have to see that we take that specific calculation which fits into the plan of the question that is before us. If the question before us, what is 6 times 6? The answer cannot be 5 times 5 is 25. Now 5 times 5, 25 is the truth, but it doesn't fit into the situation. Therefore it isn't the answer. It's true, but not the, but the wrong answer. Do you see how we have to reason that a truth is not just always the answer? It must fit into the whole question, the whole plan, into the whole design. And so in order that we can see that it must be the truth about a specific situation which fits the question, we have to see love and mind. Why love and mind? Because love always shows that love has an, that being has a plan. Plan, a great design, that it is so to say the great blueprint for everything, and that is manifested, mind, come to mind, that is always manifested as the right specific idea to the situation. So that love does not give us stones when we need bread, or does not give us bread when we need stones to build a house. It must be adapted to the situation. And love is that great adaptation that that operates in the in its plan. So love must be manifested and manifest itself in a way that is really love, that is really meeting the need. And it's not manifested in a way that does not meet the need. That's why we need love and mind. So in this way we find the right solution in arithmetic as well as in science. And this is the working of principle. That's how the principle of arithmetic works. That's how the principle of being works. At the principle of being, therefore, to summarize it again quickly, says, being has infinite identities of being. Again, being with a capital B has within itself as its content in infinite identities of being, being small b. It has elements of being which are unchangeable, which are identified, and therefore can be defined and are crystal clear. All right. Now, what do you do with these ideas of infinity, the numerals of infinity? You have to calculate with them. So you come to the second point, where to the Christ, to truth and spirit, where we begin to see that one being, which is the truth about every situation, reflects itself in infinite truth. A spirit that reflects and has infinite reflection. So that the one truth becomes infinite truth, or is adapted for bringing out infinite truth. But which specific truth is the answer to a specific problem? So we have the third one, namely love and mind, which says love knows what has to be manifested because love wants to meet all our needs, wants to meet the needs that are right in the plan of love, not those needs which we think should be fulfilled, but those needs which love has in view and therefore manifests them as mind, and brings them to the surface, brings them to manifestation, so that we find the answer. And all this relies on the omni-action of principle, because we can't make that candlestick operate. It's principle that is self-operative, and therefore says, now I go the other way around, I go now from the bottom upward. See, you can have it now subjective also, and can say, well, within the omni-activity of principle, you know where I am, huh? Here. Within the omni-action of divine principle that is ever going on in self-operative, you don't have to make it operate. There, within that principle, there is an infinite plan of love. From your side is... it's this. In the infinite plan of that principle, which is love, love wants to bring out the true results in every case. Mind, it wants to manifest itself. Love is always that which is never without its manifestation. Love and mind, manifestation. And it can bring out the right results because the next two arms, spirit and truth, say, from your side, spirit and truth, say, in this great plan of love, there is a calculus going on that divine principle is constantly calculated, is constantly conscious of itself as an infinite calculation of ideas, so that the one truth is constantly reflected in all the specific truths on the ground, now on the last two arms, soul and life, that it says, and these truths are of eternal value. They are eternal identities, soul and life. They never will fade away. They cannot be destroyed. They cannot be extinguished. They stay for eternity. Yeah. Okay.